Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
The Bible teaches us many things. It teaches us that from the very beginning of this story, that everything is driven by God's passion, His desire to have His presence totally wrapped around you. Our DNA is kind of a homing device, like homing pigeons. We have a homing device in our DNA that tries to bring us back into God's presence because we are made in His image. And because we are made in God's image, we want to be in God's presence. We need a relationship with Him, our Creator. God calls Himself a jealous God. And He is. And when we seek the presence of others, when we're more interested in what others have to say than what God has to say, when we put all of our adoration and our love on behalf of our children or our grandchildren, or someone else besides God, anyone else besides God, it hurts God. It angers God. And that is why God says to us in Jesus' voice that if you love mother or father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, anyone more than me, you're not worthy of me. See, Jesus will not tolerate that sort of mixed loyalty. The Bible teaches us that we're to love the Lord our God with everything that is within us. That we'll leave nothing behind. That we're to love God with everything we have. And then love our neighbor as ourselves. But that's a secondary thing. If you don't love your Lord, your God, you can love your neighbor as yourself. And that's not a saving declaration. You first must love God, the one who created you. God has visited us many times and discriminated against us sometimes, and sometimes he's pulled us close to Him. An old black pastor once said that Jesus Christ would be Lord of all, or He wouldn't be your Lord at all. I really believe in that theology. Because God loves us so much, He wants to be present in our lives. He wants us to know Him. That's the background of God's message to us today. God's love for us demands His presence in us and on us, around us. You know, the people asked Moses to go up onto Mount Sinai to hear the voice of God because they didn't want to hear it themselves. They were afraid. They didn't want any of that direct encounter with God. And so they said to Moses, you go and you hear God for us, and then you tell us what He said, and we'll do it. But while Moses was gone, they, as you remember, were disobedient. And they thought, Moses has gone a long time. He's probably dead. Let's make ourselves our own God. And they fashioned a golden calf. God knew it. And it upset God. God was angry. But He said, even in His anger, my promise was to bring this people to a land of milk and honey, and they shall have their inheritance, even though they are far from me. Only I won't go with them. Moses came and told the people what God said, that they could have the land of milk and honey, but he wasn't going with them. And the people began to mourn the loss of that relationship. They mourned because he was their God, their provider. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was God, their healer. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was the God that they had depended on. He provided for them. They, on one side of them, they mourned the loss because of what it would mean to them, but they also mourned the loss of his presence with them. And they said to Moses, wait a minute, wait. We don't want God to go. We want God to remain here with us. We want him here when we need him. We want him here all the time. We want to know his love for us. We want to know his mercy for us. We want to know him. And so we want him to stay. And we'll do anything. We'll do anything we can to repent of what we've done. We'll build a tabernacle. We'll build it exactly to his specifications. And they did. And for a long time, they built the tabernacle. And they were very minute details that they had to follow. And the specifications were very demanding. And yet they did it all. And God rewarded them by filling that tabernacle with a cloud which symbolized his presence with them. And in that moment, they knew all their sins were forgiven. That God was with them. And if God be with them, who could be against them? They knew that. I want us to know that too. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have come into our lives, that you want so much to be a part of us, that your presence desires so much to be a part of every human life that you've created, that you have sent your only begotten Son to face our punishment, to accept our guilt upon him, to die in our place upon a cross that should have been made for us. You have made him to rise from the ground. We thank you and praise you, Father. For in his resurrection there is hope for each of us, that where Jesus is now, we may be also. Father, we thank you and praise you. And Father, if there's anything that I know more deeply than anything else, it is this, that you desire to be here in your people. So Father, if there's anything that I should say that would in any way hinder anyone from coming to you, if there's anything I would say that is not in your perfect will, cast it out. Cast it out of the memories of the people who hear it. May they not hear it today in this room. May they not hear it today over the internet. May they not hear it over Roku. May they not hear it. May it be forever forgotten, cast into a sea of forgetfulness. But let those things that you speak to us take deep root in our lives. May you be exalted among all others today. May your Holy Spirit come and teach each and every one of us what you desire for us to know. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Look with me now into 1 Kings chapter 8. A series we've entitled, Who is Your God? I hope you walk away today, I pray that you do, with a greater sense of who your God is. Listen to the verses that were written by men of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast of the first month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. Then they brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. But the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadows the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they were there to this day. It's hard to think of a time in human history when people of faith were more blessed than at the first of Solomon's ministry, because he knew exactly what God had called him to do, and therefore he knew exactly what the people were to do. He knew that they were there to assemble the temple of God, that they were there for a purpose, that their purpose was to make a place that God could dwell, that a place that would be so magnificent that it would overshadow anything else on earth. The stones, of course, were cut and chiseled in the quarry, so that when the stones were taken to the temple site, there was not even the sound of a hammer or a chisel. The temple was assembled in silence. It's a wonder of the ancient world how they did that, how they transformed and took these stones from a quarry to the temple place without a sound. Stones that are boggle your mind how they could move them, because they were 60 to 100 tons. I've been down into the place now by the former temple that they call the rabbi's tunnels, and when you go in there you can see the retaining wall, and there are stones there that weigh 100 tons, and they were moved in tongue and groove, set together so that no weed or grass to this day, after thousands of years, grows between them. It is a wonderful place. How could they do that job? But they did it meticulously. They cut the stones and put them together first in the quarry and then at the temple. That kind of imagery is repeated in the New Testament, because God's people are called living stones. And each of us are being built into a size and shape that will fit into the temple that God will come and live in to His glory. But each stone must be shaped. You know, I've heard sermons preached on the things that shape us, and quite often we realize that the hammer and chisel in our life, in the quarry of life, comes from the pain that we receive. It's all pain-oriented. It's terrible. It's, you know, it chips away. It takes things away from us that we want to hold on to. And all kinds of things in our lives do that. When we don't have enough money to feed our children, that is a pain that is coming into our life. It feels like a hammer and chisel or chipping away at something that we hold so dear. Or if sickness comes and attacks our life, if the sickness comes and attacks our lives in such a way that it would take our very life away, or take our limbs away, or in some way disable us, those are real pains, and we think about those as being in the quarry of life. But also in the quarry of life are all the things that are good things, because all good things come from God, every good and perfect thing. And so the good things that come into our life make us almost worse, because it is more challenging to have a life in an oasis than it is in the quarry of life sometimes. Because in the quarry of life, we kind of expect the chisel and the hammer to come. We sort of expect these things to happen to us. But when we are enjoying life, when we have plenty, when we have more than enough to meet our own needs, we can meet the needs of others. We have more than enough, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing in our life, we're at the most dangerous place that we can be spiritually. Because we begin to believe that these things that we possess are the things that we should honor instead of honoring God who gave them to us. We are more desperate when their chisel is hitting us for God to come and relieve us from the pain. But when we are enjoying the fruits of God's blessings, that too is a challenging time. And it too shapes us into the kind of stone that we will build. When they were putting the stone up here on the front of the building, I noticed that the stonemasons took a hammer and chisel and they chipped stones in such an angle that they would fit exactly where they were supposed to. And one cornerstone I remember watching, it was a cornerstone that fit up into a cavity, and it had to be just at a kind of a triangle. It had to fit just right. And he cut it just right. And when the mortar was all around it, it fit perfectly. That is what God is doing in our lives so that we can be a part of His presence with us. That is how He is shaping us as a living stone so we can take our place in the building when it happens. You know, God is allowing some of us to be in that oasis today. Yet there are many others who I come in contact with every week who are at the very part where they feel that hammer and chisel taking away something from their life, maybe taking away their life itself. And it is a balance. But all things working together for God's good, all things work together for His good, whether they are wonderful things in your mind or whether they are painful things in your mind, they are there for a purpose. God's purpose is to shape us so that we fit perfectly where He places us. You know, that's something that God is doing every day, every moment of every day. God is allowing us to understand what people can't seem to understand, that His presence is more precious than silver or gold. His presence is more precious than anything we could give for it, than any salary we could give up, than any person we could give up, than anything else. His presence is most precious. God is allowing circumstances, no matter what the cutting instrument, to shape us, whether it causes us pain or whether it causes us joy. He is allowing those things to come together in your life so that you will be shaped and therefore can build when God comes back and tells us to build. You know, Jesus will come back for some today. This very day, this very moment while I'm preaching, there will be someone who goes off to heaven in the hands of Jesus. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. In a twinkling of an eye, in 10,000th of a second, the scientists tell us that's what a twinkling is. Instantly, we will be with the Lord. Jesus is coming back today for some people. Some people He will wait until He comes back in glory for the final appearance of our Lord in the clouds. Some of us will still be potentially standing here when He comes. Some will go before. But whether they are sleeping now in God's bosom or whether they will be caught up in the air with Him, He is coming back and they've already been shaped. He's shaping each and every one of us today. All of us will be answerable to Christ because when He says build, the church will be built by the living stones in silence. No, one stone won't be crying out to another, "Hey, I'm bigger than you are." Or, "Hey, I've got a more prominent place than you've got. You're just a little chip off the old block. You're not the real block." Not going to be any of that. We'll be built in silence, and the church that is built will be the church that Christ died for. It will be the glorious place of His total habitation. The presence of God today remains with us, in us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes into us His very presence. The whole of human history is leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that we do, nothing that we suffer, nothing that we enjoy in this life that is not leading us toward the life that we shall have hereafter and have forevermore. But it's no longer going to be like Indiana Jones. It's not going to be in an ark or fantasy of Hollywood. Listen, the ark is gone. It's lost. It was in the first temple, but it wasn't in the second temple. It wasn't there. It's lost. Because God no longer meets with us in a particular place, but through a particular person, His Son, Jesus Christ. That is who we meet with. If we're going to be in God's presence, we have to go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. He is God. There were two temples in the Old Testament. There was the first temple, Solomon's temple, and it was exploded by a cloud of God. The glory of God came upon the entire place. And then there's the second temple. There's the temple that Nehemiah built, and it was a temple with God's name on it, but not His presence in it. We don't want to be like people of the second temple. We don't want to be God's chosen frozen, who are frozen by our fear of God's presence. We want to engage with God and be in His presence all the time. We don't want to be like the people that have a name, oh, I am a Christian because I was born in a Christian denomination, or I was born in a Christian family, or my great uncle Seth was a minister. Ah, baloney. We want not to be the ones that have made the Father's house not a house of prayer, but a den of iniquity. Jesus is coming back to drive out all the impurities from His church. That's the reason He's shaping us, to take away all the impurities. We decrease like John the Baptist so that He can increase. We are allowing Him to chip away at us, to make us into the perfect image of Jesus Christ. That is why He is doing what He's doing. It may not be that your outside is the image that you look at all the time in the mirror, is the image that God cares about. He cares about the image of your heart. He wants that heart to be reconstructed, made into the image of God. Only then will it be compatible. Jesus Christ is a recognition of God's presence that the ark and the temple were pointing to. It is God's presence that we seek. God is going to do something with His only begotten Son. That's why He made His Son flesh and bone like us. He came and dwelt among us. Not like the tabernacle, which was filled with His glory, which was made of skin and sticks, but He came to create in Jesus Christ a flesh and blood, the flesh and blood that He took from David, and the Spirit which He brought from the Godhead. He is God. And He's coming back. And He may come back today for you. He may wait until His second coming. He's coming back. He's coming back in for each of us. I want you to take a moment as living stones, just for a moment, to identify the stone cutters in your life. Think about it. Think about the pain that may be cutting and shaping you now. Maybe it's an emotional pain. maybe you're angry or frustrated or disappointed. All of those things in God's hands become a chisel that He uses to shape you. It may be that you don't have any money, that the bill collectors are knocking at your door. Maybe that your health is under siege from every place. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to do this. Whether it's a good thing that's keeping you from God, or if it's a pain that's distracting you from God, I want you to ask God now, as living stones. Just bow and ask Him, God, use the things that are stone cutters in my life for Your glory. May they conform me to Your likeness. Ask Him to come and use those things. Bow before God. Tell God how painful they are in your life. Tell God how hard it is to be blessed and keep on thanking Him. Ask God to help you to a life that allows even the painful stone cutters to be a part of His purpose. Ask Him to use everything in your life, the good and the bad and the ugly, to shape your life for ministry now and to prepare you to take you to your place in His temple, which is built for His glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, I pray that this will be the moment in which we open ourselves to You, that we become the clay that is in the potter's hand. We know that You can shape us any way You want to shape us. For some of us, we beg to be a cup. But we realize that even if You make us a cup, You have to keep the cup in Your hand. Because what good is a cup that has water in it if it's not lifted by Your hand to give a drink of that precious water of life to someone who is thirsty? Father, may we understand how much we depend on You. Father, may this be a moment of dedication of ourselves to You. May Your presence fall down upon us. May it lift us. May each of us understand the magnificence of Your presence here in us today. May we understand how precious and sacred lives are that have that precious commodity, Your presence. Father, may our will be caught up in Yours. If there's someone sitting here, someone in the sound of my voice, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on television, however it gets out, that wants to return to You, may this be the time that they can do that. May You make it possible. May You fill them with a boldness that allows them to rise up wherever they are and speak to You directly. May they utter a prayer with me. May they say, Lord, whatever Your will for me, I yield myself to it now. Father, if there's someone here who has never known Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, may this be the day that they receive Him. Father, there may be someone who's going through a lot of trials and tribulations. May this be a moment in which they lay it all before Your life. Their life before You, Father. They submit to You and rededicate their lives. If there's someone here, Father, who has need of an answered prayer in their life, or physical, or mental, or spiritual, or financial, whatever the need is, You're the one that has the cattle on 1,000 hills. You're the one that can meet each and every need. If there's anyone here who would like to join the church or give their life to full-time Christian service, whatever it is, Father, may we yield to your Spirit today. For we ask these things and offer this invitation in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.